Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, so Howard Brayton and I have a conversation during the break here about this classic rant. The rant I've tweeted out the link 1 year ago today. It's a 10-minute segment, so we're not going to play the whole 10-minute segment.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, there's the call, there's your rant, there's my rant, there's the aftershocks, the aftermath. A year ago today, a good Sabres rant. And we're discussing, like, how much of it should we play? Like, not the full 10 minutes, but maybe, like, what, four?
Hey,
six?
I mean, I'm here till 10, and I'm looking at the schedule today, and there's a lot of open segments.
I was thinking about it, you know, as you turn on games tonight, like, hey, CBS aired, you know, the 1984 National Championship game. Like, we're playing the old classics, right?
Yeah, so right.
Playing an old rant, you know. Maybe not the full 11 minutes, but
can we play it like the old Weiner line where we can stop and interject? Or can we play?
That's not
like the
a
whole,
terrible idea.
Have to play the whole thing,
right? How did it age and all that? there are podcasts that do this, the rewatchables. They do it with movies. You go back and watch a movie and you talk about it again. And I was watching the guys from Pardon My Take. We're doing a game where they're watching an old NFL game last night, all mm-hmm. via Skype or Zoom or something, and broadcasting it. So you could be with them while they were watching the game on television.
Well, that's cool. Like, I mean, yeah. I know, like, Marty, for example, when the Sabres have been replaying their classic games, Marty Braun is live tweeting.
Yeah.
And, not to bring up the Michigan-Syracuse game, but the one they played the other night, I saw mm-hmm. about it because John Beilein had tweeted out him in a live tweet during the game. So you can – I haven't done that. I don't know that I will if I'm watching the game.
Live tweeting is one thing. Actually broadcasting it is another.
That's right. You're right. These guys have taken it to a different level.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is nice. I mean, like, you know, get the new broadcast in there. Get the rant breakdown. If we had saved all of the old rants, we could have done rant breakdown segments. I wonder how many.
Oh, you could have had a rant draft.
How many do we have in a year at rants? Like, maybe four each?
I feel like you have far surpassed me. I don't feel like I have that many anymore. I don't know that I have that many left in me anymore.
I feel like you had a Mets one recently.
Yeah, that's the day I cursed.
That's right.
Yeah, so that was a bad thing. Like, that's
you say I surpassed you.
I think you've passed
there's one
me
where
on
you
that.
Actually swore.
Okay, but yeah, but you know, that's your fault because you got me going. No, actually, you saved me. You and Brayton had to hit the dump button that day. I'm pretty sure both of you reached... Like, it slipped out, and immediately, I don't even know what the look on my face was, but it was probably like, uh-oh, and I just looked at both you guys, I didn't say on the air, hey, dump that, but I looked at both you guys like, oh boy, I hope someone runs for the dump button right now, because I just did something I wasn't supposed to do, but so that was bad. Yeah, it was about the, was it about Callaway or the bullpen or something?
I think it was about... Who knows? I
mean, Jairus Familia.
They blew a game. They blew one of the biggest leads. I think it was against the Nationals, and then you just went off
and ended up dropping a bad word. It flew out. It was out of. Yeah, sorry about that. But sometimes you just can't control these. I'm telling you, when I become FCC commissioner, things are going to change in radio. We're going to be able to use You know, you're going to, it's like a get out of jail free card in Monopoly, and you can save it. You know, you don't get the get out of jail free card and you use, obviously you wait till you get to jail, but you could save it and then you use it at the right time. And I'm going to change the FCC rules to you're allow one curse word per month, and you have to, and you can stockpile them. Anyway, go ahead. I'm getting off on a tangent. Yeah. Go ahead.
Speaking of rants, here's an example of, boy, man, would I love to rant about that if I could, but I can't because I'm not mad about it, which is the Miami Dolphins today. Armando Salguero has a piece in the Miami Herald. The headline, the draft's number one pick, which the Dolphins want, can offer more nightmares than dreams come true. And he's talking about the number one pick.
Yeah.
But he cites a source saying that the Dolphins want to move up to number one.
Why? Why do they want to move up to number one? What would be the reasoning behind that?
For the quarterback.
Oh!
And let me tell you, like, when it comes to – I mean, I see that beautiful rant that if I were a Dolphins fan or if I worked in – boy, the poetry I would lay down at that ridiculous organization for deciding that their pride was so important, mm-hmm. for stockpiling three first-round picks that they're going to trade away to get to the spot that they could have gotten to for free.
Mm-hmm.
Free.
Two words, Josh Rosen.
Right.
They should have played Josh Rosen.
Or anybody.
David Fails with the Jets. Yeah.
Anybody. Anybody but Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Uh-huh.
Or anybody.
Right.
And, like, it is literally right there for you.
And they did
and
their bit,
course,
right, Jeremy? They traded,
traded guys away.
They traded Fitzpatrick.
All
they traded tons
of players.
They cut guys. Right.
They did it so well.
Right.
And then they just decided, listen, this is really important to win games. And trust me, when they beat New England, that was fun.
Yeah.
But still, like, guys, is nobody there? Does nobody there realize that, you know, you talk about the importance of those wins, and maybe that helps them get free agents. Sure, whatever. There actually will be a cost to those wins. If they trade up to number one and they give up their other two first-round picks,
mm-hmm.
those wins cost them first-round picks, right? Like, there is it's a tangible cost. Instead of picking where you just could have picked, if you just done the thing that lots of teams do that you should have done, instead you're going to pay for it. I hope those congratulations to the Dolphins on this big win today, which cost them a first-round pick because they have to trade to get to the top with Cincinnati.
Right.
What a beautiful spot Cincinnati's in if they just want to get as much as they can from the Dolphins, right?
Yeah. I was wondering how they play that. You know, I was thinking...
Well, maybe Joe Burrow thinks the Bengals are a joke and doesn't want
right.
to play for the organization, and
right.
then the Bengals would say, well, we just have to say that he doesn't want to play here, and then we can go get three first-round picks and draft Tua.
Right. And that's what I was thinking. If you're,
unless the Dolphins go up and get Tua, or who knows. But
if you're Cincinnati, right. And then I was thinking, if you're the Bengals, like I saw that story, and I you know, it is kind of funny when you think about it, but I was wondering, if you're Cincinnati, maybe... I didn't think about what you brought up. What if, you know, if Burrow's agent, if they're doing the Eli Manning thing, then you don't even have to go through the whole, hey, let's trade, we'll draft him and then we'll trade him. You could just trade the pick. And if you've been told, listen, guys, he doesn't really want to play there. Hey, well, we don't want to deal with that. Let's just trade it. Or what if they have, what if their quarterback grades are close? You know, like what if somehow they have Tua Tagovailoa or Justin Herbert or Jordan Love right on par with Joe Burrow? I have no idea. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But if the grades are close and you can trade down a few slots and still get a quarterback and take and get all these extra first round picks, it's the Bengals. They need a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why not? Sure. If you don't think there's a big drop off from, if you think Burrow's number one and it's not even close, if I'm Cincinnati, I would just stay there and take the guy I think is number one and hopefully he turns my franchise around. But if it's debatable and you can get all these other assets, go ahead. You know, I would make the trade if I were them. If I think I'm not missing out on this great opportunity for a elite generational quarterback talent, all right, hey, Miami, give us all your ones and whatever else you want to ask for.
Good for the Dolphins,
though. I don't have a rant, but can I just make just one thing I did see yesterday about the whole – we were talking earlier about the schedule release. Which, what, is usually a week before the draft? The NFL schedule.
April, right. 18th,
mid-April?
April
yeah.
15th, 14th.
So now it's not going to be then. And it should be no later than May 9th. And there was an element yesterday that is angry. Like, I think it was a legitimate debate to say, should free agency go on as scheduled? Mm-hmm. Because we don't want players traveling on visits. We don't want them going in for physicals. We don't want press conferences to announce new signings, because now you're having, well, you can't in some states have a gathering of all those media members in one room. So I think that was a fair debate. But there's an element out there yesterday that said, you know, the league is tone deaf if they release the schedule. It's a schedule release.
I don't agree, yeah.
It's a schedule. Who's getting hurt? If they release the schedule tomorrow, it's not like they're releasing the schedule and then it all says, oh, by the way, feel free to go to a bar tonight with 25 of your friends. They're not telling you to stop self-quarantine. It's a schedule release. No one has to have a press conference. You don't gather media in your press room to make your GM available to talk about the schedule. You just put the schedule out and we all talk about it. I need that. It's okay. I'm doing everything I can to be safe, but I need the NFL schedule. I need the distractions, okay? This is why every television network is playing old games, because we need something to distract us. It is not, I don't think it's tone deaf. I don't think it's insensitive of the NFL. Again, they're not encouraging violating safe and social distancing. They're just releasing a schedule, and you can talk about it. If you don't want to talk about it, don't. But I could use an NFL schedule right now to think about, maybe there'll be games this fall. Hey, that'd be cool. You know, I just whatever. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I mean, it can be tone deaf on April 18th. It can also be tone deaf on May 9th.
Right.
You know, like, so you don't know what the tone's going to be on May 9th. So.
Right.
And I was very much with along the lines of maybe they shouldn't have free agency. And then mm-hmm. they did, and it felt fine.
It was good. It was really
yes,
fun.
I thought it felt fine. Then again, you know, if free agency were going to be next week, that might not be the same situation, because next week's not going to be the same as it was on March 15th. I mean, mm-hmm. every week's going to be different.
Yeah.
So these leagues, everybody's in a tough spot. Planning anything is tough. You know, if you've got a trip scheduled this summer, what do? Do you cancel it now?
Right. We have everything all reserved and booked to go to Italy at the end of August.
Right.
Probably not going to happen, but I'm not going to cancel it today. I'm going to wait and see what happens. And as we get closer, if we realize, okay, this is not a smart thing to do, then we'll adjust accordingly. That's why the schedule thing for me, it's just they're not, you know, taunting the virus. They're just saying, hey, here's our schedule. We're planning to play a full season. Well, guess what? That's the other thing. Like yesterday, they held a conference call, and the league's chief legal counsel, Jeff Pash, was on the call, and he was telling folks, hey, we're still planning on a full season as scheduled with fans in the stadiums. And, you know, some people are like, you know, are getting upset about that. Look, the virus will determine what's going to happen. The league can say it. We're planning on a full season. Guess what? It's not up to them. So you can have your plans, and you can release your schedule, and you can put everything in place. And they're practicing. What are they won't be OTAs. They've closed facilities. They're going to do video coaching with players during OTAs. You'll just get in on a video call, and you'll do positional film study by video, because no one's allowed to come to the facility. So they're doing what needs to be done. You know, and for them to come out and say, hey, we're planning on why not? You can say that, but it's out of your control. The virus will determine whether or not you're going to start your season in September. And so, I know we're all very sensitive to what's going on, but, a schedule release or a guy saying we're still planning on a full season, you don't need to get up in arms and go crazy. It doesn't mean they're insensitive, and all these things are fluid. Everything can change, because the NHL's funny. The NHL is so funny about, we're only going to self-quarantine for 2 weeks at a time. Okay, players, you stay in till April 15th. Like, you're not going to come out on April 14th and go, you know, we're going to push the self-quarantine to the end of the month. We're going to self-quarantine till further notice. And if it changes, it'll change. Like, they're just so, like, the NHL to me does seem like a league that's in denial. Like, they won't admit anything. So we're going to self-quarantine for two more weeks, and then we'll see. You know, it's just weird.
My favorite story from the NFL yesterday was that announcement about the playoffs, and they sold the games. So CBS gets one,
NBC got a Sunday night playoff game.
So there's going to be a Sunday night playoff game mm-hmm. and another afternoon one. Anyway,
yep.
But Michael David Smith tweeted this, and this made the rounds, managing editor at Pro Football Talk, that tucked in there is that CBS, their game, will also be broadcast on Nickelodeon.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that feed, actually.
It's a separately produced telecast geared toward a younger audience.
Right.
And this is tremendous news for a couple different reasons. One, not even specific to Nickelodeon and a younger audience. You know, in the future, if we can fast forward 2-3 years when life is probably maybe never normal again, but whatever, you know what I'm trying to say, that, wait, we could have a game with two separate telecasts? That's a good idea on its own.
Right.
You know, we've seen the megacast in college football's national championship,
love
and they
it.
Are great.
Yep.
And maybe it's only good if you don't have a rooting interest in the game, whatever, but you get more choices.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that they're already looking into separate broadcasts for the same game, that's good. And then Nickelodeon with a geared toward a younger audience. It's funny. Like, Nickelodeon's a pretty young audience.
Yes.
So here's my first question. What age is the broadcast currently geared toward? 25 to 54?
Yeah, right. That's the prime demographic.
I want you to pick one number, though. Not a range. What age is it gunning for?
Okay, I'm going to say the NFL is gunning for like 40.
Okay. I might have said 45.
Okay. Yeah.
50.
It's an older crowd. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So Nickelodeon will gun for what age?
Oh, gosh. 10 to 15?
Like, trust me.
I'm thinking of our prime Nickelodeon years were when Jonathan was probably, I don't know.
12? What year do you stop watching Nickelodeon? You're 16?
I still watch.
I mean, maybe Nickelodeon
still
has
watch
changed.
SpongeBob. I'm in full disclosure.
Okay.
I still watch
Fair
SpongeBob.
Enough.
The occasional Fairly Odd Parents, but mostly SpongeBob.
I'm not trying to make fun of this. I think this is a very good idea, but it is kind of funny that, you know, a broadcast for the younger audience, and I just think, what, 12 to 20?
Oh, it's not. Know? You're too high. Go lower. It's Nickelodeon's got to be like 10 to 15.
So then
16
the only
tops.
Reason that they would be doing that is so that maybe. I mean, again, who are you advertising to? The parents of those kids.
Right.
So you want that broadcast to be good for kids that would watch with their parents. Because, you know, if you're 12, I don't think you're buying stuff that's going to be advertised during an NFL game.
Yeah, well,
sure, there'll be different advertisements, but the advertisements are for the parents.
The parents can be watching on one set. The kids are watching on the other set. And then the kids go to the parents and say, hey, this computer game was on a commercial during the get me this. I mean,
I think in that scenario, the parents are watching the same
game. Okay.
That's what you're going for.
I would watch I honestly would tune into the Nickelodeon broadcast to see how they do this. Like,
well,
I want SpongeBob doing play-by-play.
First off, the people that are just love making millennial jokes can't wait to make more, even though these kids will be way younger than millennials.
Right.
So, I mean, blaming of the millennials is there's a lot of potential there somehow. I think it's a really good idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a league that just wants to continue to grow fans and have younger fans, I think it makes a lot of sense. I'm very, very interested to see how it's carried out, who's on the broadcast, what it looks like, you know.
If they're sliming people.
Right.
I mean, they got to do Nickelodeon stuff, right? Come on.
Right, right. So I think it's a really cool story. And, you know, as much, maybe you don't think Nickelodeon does it for you, but like maybe, you know, in 3 years, they talk about doing a broadcast that's, what are different versions of NFL fans? Like gambling broadcast, analytics-driven, numbers-driven.
Like a fantasy football version where they're just strictly talking about fantasy implications.
Right. Or, I mean, the point spread became a lot more relevant in the last few months to year. And maybe there's one that's all about that. That's all about, once these games get live betting.
Yes,
and
we'll
you
see
get
more
to a
of
point
that.
Exactly, where you're watching one broadcast that's maybe traditional, and then over on this channel is the one where it's interactive and the lines go up for will the Jets score on this drive, you know, plus 160. And you get to, you know, where it would be every bit as much an interactive gambling broadcast as it would be a football game. And you'd be able to split those. Because if they're willing to split the broadcast for kids, then, I mean, gambling is, it's going to be there.
803-0550 to join us. Adam, thank you for the tweet. It made me laugh. You tweeted in, I hear you say coaching over video. I'm sure that involves going over their plays. All I can think about is, quote, the Patriots Department of Computer Hacking. Thank you very much. That's good. That's very good. Thanks for making me laugh. 803-0550. Grab a line. Join us this morning, WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Whether it's the NHL, the NBA, or major sports or sport in general, nothing is determined without the guidance of either the CDC or the World Health Organization or, here in Canada, Health Canada. I mean, those are the governing bodies. So, the National Hockey League, the NBA, they may have eyes on a certain time in the calendar as to when it would be great if the sport could resume. None of that is happening unless the health authorities sign off on it.
It is Darren Drager. Justin, hold on the line. Darren Drager from TSN, on The Instigators. If you missed it, it's an on-demand audio at WGR550.com. We owe you some headlines. More teams are going to the NFL playoffs. Yay! Owners voted to expand the playoffs to 14 teams. Now the one seed is the only team that will get a bye in Wild Card Weekend. We will have triple headers Saturday and Sunday in Wild Card Weekend. Isaiah McKenzie re-signed with the Bills recently, spoke to members of the media on a conference call yesterday, and we have details on that from Sal Capaccio. His article is up at WGR550.com. The NFL schedule release is going to be delayed, but it should be out no later than May 9th. The league saying yesterday it is still planning at this point on a full season as scheduled and with fans in the stadiums. Chris Godwin has given number 12 over to Tom Brady in Tampa. Godwin will wear 14. Arizona having some talks with DeAndre Hopkins about a contract adjustment. He has 3 years left on the contract that they inherited from Houston in that trade. The NHL has told its players, stay put, and extending the self-quarantine to April 15th. And the Chinese Basketball Association delayed the restart of the season. Now you might be wondering, why are we monitoring the Chinese Basketball Association in headlines? As the story goes, the NBA is watching them, and other sports leagues are watching them. They had brought some players back. They were trying to restart, and now they've delayed it. And a lot of leagues, I think, are following China and that league for, like, the model of maybe this is how we're going to do it and the time frame which we will need before we restart our season. So they have delayed that. Those are your headlines. Next update coming up at 8 o'clock. 803-0550 to join us. Let me get to we're with you this morning. We're hanging out. It's Wednesday. Thanks for being here. Jeremy's at his home studio. We are waiting Betty. Hit one of his dogs to bark at some point this season.
Yeah, we haven't.
Not this season.
We haven't played the game yet.
You haven't turned on the TV.
I could get it ready.
Okay.
I had the dog whisperer up here, but she was in the other room.
Okay.
So.
Well, we got
the volume's down, of course. I don't want you to have to listen to Cesar Millan and the dog whisperer.
We're here all morning, so it's okay. Let me get Justin in, because Justin in Horseheads emailed both of us a story this morning, and actually it timed out perfectly for how I felt this morning and what we're all dealing with in terms of grief. Justin, thanks, man. Thanks for sending that along. I read that, and I can get into some details at some point, but I read that and I thought, yep, that's exactly how I feel. So thanks for doing that.
Yeah, you guys are welcome. I figured that the listeners, once you got a chance to go over that, that might answer some questions about, gee, what is it that I'm feeling? So to the thousands and thousands of listeners of the Howard and Jeremy show, I assume, that are on with us right now, just to summarize, the article that I sent those guys last night was something from the Harvard Business Review, which is a very legit source of good information, and really just broke down exactly what the term anticipatory grief is. And the author summed it up basically by saying, with a virus, this kind of grief is confusing for people. Our primitive mind knows something bad is happening, but you can't see it. And that breaks our sense of safety. So that explains anticipatory grief explains the uneasiness that we all feel because we don't know what the future holds. We're not necessarily scared of the virus itself. We're not scared of contracting it, yet we're scared of what our future holds and if we're going to lose our jobs, et cetera, and the economic uncertainty and this, that, and the other. So I thought that, you know, it would give the guys something to talk about and maybe with the callers that call in, be able to help explain, hey, this is probably what you're feeling, what you're going through, and we're all going through it. And my hope is that everybody, you know, just follows the guidelines. Please stay safe. Please keep your family safe, your loved ones safe. Check on them. Keep lines of communication open. If you have family that's distant, I recommend a program like Zoom that's free to download. Do little 15-minute social chats. Try to be as normal as you possibly can. Jeremy, my dogs have been on every single conference call I've had since I've been home for work. So, no shame in hearing your dogs bark, man. I know all my colleagues know my dogs by name and can spot which one is which whenever they run up on the couch. So I hope you guys are safe. I hope the crew is safe. I really do hope we can get back to life as normal, but I'm glad that I was able to share that article with you and that people can at least understand a little bit better about what they're feeling.
Thanks, Justin. No, it helped. It really did. Talking to Jeremy was a big – I really needed that this morning, Jeremy. I can't thank you enough. But that made me feel better. But the article, as I read, I'm going through the list of anger, that the stages of grief, I should say. And I'm like, yep, check, done it. Denial, yep, been there. Anger, yep, done it. Bargaining, yep, been there. Sadness, yep, there now. And I haven't gotten to acceptance yet, the next stage in this process.
Well, I recently read a book about grief because after my mother's death, and if anyone, you know, this doesn't have to have anything to do with the current state of the world. The book is called Option B. It's a very, very good book about grief and sudden grief, too, like the loss of someone close to you.
Right.
And the reason I bring it up here is because you say the stages of grief. One of the things they say is they are not stages. They do not go in order.
Yeah, right. And the guy did, right? He did say that, too. Yes.
Yeah. It does not happen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like four quarters in a football game. They are phases that you go in and
correct.
Out of.
Yeah, I should have. I'm sorry. I didn't.
No.
The stages are not linear. They may not happen in this order.
And they might happen. You might have 25 bouts of stage of the first one and none of the fourth one. Like, everybody, it's different for everybody. But the book is called Option B, if anybody wants to pick that up because you've suffered any sort of loss in your life. It was helpful. I listened to it. You know, if you want to go back to how long this has been, this pandemic has been on our minds, I listened to that audiobook. I didn't read it. I listened to it on a drive. I drove back and forth to New Jersey on March 3rd and 4th to visit with my mother's side of the family. I initially was planning to fly, and I canceled my flight and drove for two reasons. One, the growing fears of this.
Flying, yeah.
That was March 3rd.
Wow.
You know, that long ago.
Yeah, not even right.
That I thought, you know what, I think it's a bad idea to fly into LaGuardia or fly into New York on March 3rd. And,
sure.
You know, was I overprotective? Maybe. Maybe not. Anyway, but I wanted to take a long drive to clear my head. So I listened to that book on, you know, 7 hours, six and a half to New Jersey and then back. And it was just important. Like sometimes you want to clear your head and just drive. Sometimes you want to clear your head. You want to meditate. I know there are a bunch of online resources if you want to do stuff like that. Like, you know, you take care of your mental health however you have to right about now. And if that's if you're grieving, then that book Option B is someone recommended it to me, and I'll pass on the recommendation to anybody else that would think they might get something from that.
Yeah, and he said the expert they did an interview in this article that Justin sent us. So it went through like how do you manage all the grief and everything, and it talked about finding balance in your life, and if you feel the worst image taking shape, try and find a positive image, a best image. And it's hard for me to get to the best image to counterbalance the other images that are in my head. And I also thought one of the things which was really good, and this is one of the problems I have, is the guy said, you know, tell yourself You know, I feel sad, but I shouldn't feel that other people have it worse. It's okay to feel sad. Like, don't, like, let it go. Like, let it out. Go feel sad if you feel sad. And don't think, oh, I can't do that because I'm fortunate. Other people have it worse, so I have no right to feel sad. And it's like, yeah, you know, if your body wants you to feel a certain way, not to get really deep and heavy on the show, but if your body wants you to feel a certain way, feel that certain way and don't fight it and well, and keep it inside. So, you know.
Right. And for anyone that's, you know, you've got to work, you've got to – one thing that a lot of people tell is you can schedule. Like, you know what? I'll feel this later.
Yeah, right.
I'll get home tonight at 6 and I'll schedule.
Right, let me get through the day. Mm-hmm. And then when everything is done and I got like a 10-minute window later, you know.
Right, that's not ignoring it. That's saying like, all right, I actually can't do this now. I'm going to do this later.
Right. But, yeah, it felt good today. So, yeah, Justin, thanks. That article, I made sure I read it before we went on the air this morning and – and the guy hit a lot of points that that we're all dealing with. So I appreciate you sending that along. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. As is always the case, sure, you know, we've been talking about some sports stuff. We got guests coming up. We're going to talk about the NFL draft at 8. We're going to talk about the Steelers at 9 and all the different things. But if you just want to call and, you know, let us know what you're feeling, how you're doing, how you're holding up. If it's been a struggle and you just, you know, want to hear another voices in that case, we're here. So I know it meant a lot to me. I was having a hard time focusing today. I really didn't feel like coming in and talking about whatever we were going to talk about for the next 4 hours. And, you know, my partner helped me get through the first segment. We're going since then. So
want to get through with the greatest hits next segment? Want to play the rant?
Play the rant? I saw Chad DeDominis' tweet to you.
Yeah, Brayton's trimmed it down to 4 minutes.
Oh,
so
okay.
we can get the best of.
Yeah.
And I wonder if the caller, Paul, because the title on the GR website of the segment is Caller Paul Sets the Show Ablaze.
Oh,
and I wonder, man. I always wonder if, you know, because rants sometimes are just triggered by callers. And I wasn't ranting. I kind of was a little bit at what he was saying. Yeah. But anyway, I just wonder if he listens and at least appreciates like how important he was and how he made the show better that day and how his call – you know, set us off on something that, of course, we would normally want to say, even if he hadn't called, but it brought it out. And so, Paul, if you're listening, thank you for this rant 1 year ago today.
Hey,
we'll play the highlights next.
Wanted to give you a heads up on this, too. Speaking of the whole how are you handling everything, we know life has changed for everybody on the globe. So we got a new contest this week called What's Your Outlet? Okay, and you can get involved by tweeting us at WGR550. When you tweet us, use the hashtag What's Your Outlet? Tell us what you're doing, how you're keeping busy, what you're using for the distraction. You can just send us a story. You can send us some photos. You can send us a video, whatever you want to do. And we're going to take everything in over the course of the week. And then every Friday, we will have one winner from all the entries we get. That person will get a $25 gift certificate to Outlet Liquor. Okay, very simple. Again, what's your outlet? Tweet us at WGR550 and make sure you use the hashtag What's Your Outlet. It is the WGR Outlet Liquor Twitter contest brought to you by New York's only Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case, Outlet Liquor.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Jeremy, I'm going to follow your lead because you remember more about this stuff than I do.
Okay. Well.
So was it a year ago today, you said?
A year ago
exactly?
Today.
Okay.
We'll play this one from the Greatest Hits file. Thank you to our texter.
It's in your Facebook memories or no, someone texted
you? No, a texter wrote in. Jay texted and said, hey, 1 year ago today was an epic rant. And I said, which one? And then I thought about it a little bit and I remembered which one. I'm like, all right, what would have been triggered us last year as being really upset about? And, so it was a year ago today.
Fall being elite. No, that wasn't it.
No, it was a year ago today that Paul called in, and we've tweeted out the link. I tweeted it out. Caller Paul sets the show ablaze is how Brayton phrased it because Paul brought up his points, and then Howard ranted a little bit, and then I ranted a little bit. So here's 4 minutes to take you back in time. On that special day.
Another season has gone by, and we can say we wasted a year of Jack Eichel's career. I think it's more accurate to say Jack Eichel wasn't good enough again. He is not top 20 in the league in assists. We don't have a top 10 goal scorer in the league, and we stink again. I'm tired of hearing how we tanked for this generational talent. You know, Mitch Marner's better than him. Connor McDavid's a lot better than him. Noah Hanifin, you can argue, is better than him. We missed out.
So they'd be better off without Jack Eichel?
Swap Mitch Marner for Jack Eichel on these teams.
I'd rather have some respect for my team and Mitch Marner than Jack Eichel in this pile of...
What is respect for your team?
Knowingly and openly tank a season.
Oh, people don't give a crap about that.
Hey, Paul, do you know what the Leafs did the year after Jack Eichel got drafted?
You know what? It worked for them. It didn't work for them.
Wait, you just said you'd have respect for them. They tanked.
Oh, did they? You were wrong.
Paul, you know the Leafs tanked, yes?
Yeah, so you have respect
for them, but not for the Sabres.
They're winning.
Right, yeah. And that's the whole point. If you make the right decisions, you don't blame the tank, Paul. You make the decisions. You make the right draft picks. You make the right trades. You have a competent general manager who you didn't have in Tim Murray. You hire the right coach. The tank is not why they lost. It's when you stockpiled 17 draft picks in the first two rounds over 4 years, what you did. You don't trade a first-round pick for a goaltender. It's the moves you make, and the Leafs made good moves. And they brought in Lou Lamoriello, and they brought in Brendan Shanahan, and they got Mike Babcock.
Kyle Dubas made
the right moves. This team makes wrong move after wrong move after wrong move. The tank is not what did it. Incompetent hockey people is what do it.
Well, incompetent hockey people drafted Jack Eichel over Mitch Marner.
Jack Eichel's a tremendous hockey player. How does this team take Eichel out, put Marner here?
Listen,
what difference does it make?
Seriously, swap Eichel and Marner.
It doesn't make a difference. Don't take the best player on the team and say he's the biggest problem.
That's what we do here. That's all we do is blame the good players. That's what you do. Because what does that do? That sells. Jack Eichel's not good enough. He should have 150 points if he was really that good. Blame the good players. It worked great last year, huh? Trading out O'Reilly. Great. It's always been a really good thing that teams do. They trade their good players, like Edmonton has. Go ahead and trade Jack Eichel. Will they get better? It'd be hard to be worse. So go ahead and trade one of your best players and get a couple pieces in and we'll talk about how they got to rebuild again and maybe the Sabres will be better down the road and we can tell fairy tales about how he was the problem while he joins another team and does what Ryan O'Reilly's doing. I mean, let's just keep blaming the bad players. You have two good pieces. How long until we blame Dahlin? We got 18 months on that? It's always blame the good players. They have a coach that has no record of success. None! How many years am I going to sit in this chair when we blame the good players? Here's the list of problems with the Sabres. 1, Eichel. 2, Dahlin. 3, Reinhardt. 4, Evan Rodriguez. Am I at my fourth best forward? Blame the good players. Keep going. Jack Eichel's not good enough. We should have drafted Mitch Marner. Yeah, then they'd be in the playoffs if only they had done that. I didn't think I was going to get mad today either.
I didn't think so either.
But I know that this is what we do. Yeah. I just can't even believe it. I've made this point a few times. I don't care how annoying it sounds. But since I read this book about the Premier League and their cutthroat win, no matter bleeping what, I think about American sports as a freaking joke. Or at least half the teams in this league are a freaking joke. It's always about process and belief and, oh, we think there's growth coming on. Phil Housley would have been fired halfway through last season. But no, we're on year 2. But yes, it's the best player's fault. When's he going to be a leader? You know what leadership is? Putting up freaking wins in the standings. Who's the best leader in the league? Well, let me check the standings. The best leader is in Nashville. Who's their captain? That guy's a good leader. All we do here is blame the good players. I'm excited for Jack Eichel's inevitable trade for a first rounder in 2021, a second rounder, two salary dumps, and some 20-year-old tall kid that's going to score 6 goals. I'm excited for it. Really excited for it.
I look forward to the 20-year-old tall kid who will score 6 goals.
How's the rant hold up? How's it hold up a year later?
It was good, other than me saying Babcock, who ends up getting fired in Toronto.
And Evan Rodriguez is your 4th best forward.
Yeah. Well,
was that wrong?
At the time, maybe not. But
that's the point. Like, I mean, changing the roster. I mean, like that was right last year.
For what it's worth, Jack Eichel has led the team in scoring each of the last 4 seasons, including this one. And in one of those seasons, he missed, 25 games? 25 games when he was injured the day before the opener?
Nobody. But the point is, as I heard that, I thought, that could have been said this year a lot. I mean, right? Like, he was amazing. He had his best year.
Yeah.
He had his best year ever.
Yeah.
And awful lot of talk about how they're growing. Just an awful lot of that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he had an MVP-type season.
Then he got hurt and played through it.
Yeah.
And then the season ended.
Had a big point streak. Personal and NHL recognized.
1 year ago. Mm-hmm. Heck of a year.
So it's funny. Let me share this real quick. While I was listening to the rant, I saw a tweet. An article is out from ESPN, right? They did, it said, the feel-good stories of the season for all 31 NHL teams.
Oh, we have a feel-good story?
Okay, I'm in. What did they choose for the Sabres feel-good story? Would you like that, or you want me to save it for a little bit later in the show? It's a tease for the next hour.
Save it for next hour, yes.
Okay.
Let's get to break on time.
I'll give you some time to think of what they might have come up with for the one feel-good story for the Sabres this season. We'll get a break in. We will actually – I forgot. That's right. We're talking NFL.
Dalton, if you say Dalton Smith, I'm not coming back for the next 2 hours.
Okay, Brayton, it's going to be me and you till 10 o'clock.
I'm leaving too. Dalton Smith.
It is not Dalton Smith. Okay. When we get back, I forgot, we will talk NFL draft. We will be joined by Russell Brown. He is the national scout for Cover1.net. And we'll talk about the Miami stuff. The Dolphins apparently trying to trade up for number 1. We'll get into that. Some Bills issues, all that other neat stuff. 803-0550. Hey, we're here. Just want to call up and talk and say hi and have a conversation. That's cool. We're here for you this morning on WGR.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.